At a time when we hear talk of war between the U.S. and Iran, there's also talk of future mountain climbing expeditions. Let's explain. A group called the American Alpine Club has been practicing a form of grassroots mountaineering diplomacy. They've been doing it in other countries since before the Iron Curtain fell. And now, well, remember how a general once said Iran could not be attacked because it was too mountainous? Well, American and Iranian hikers climbed some of those mountains together last summer, at a time, in fact, when two American hikers were still being held in an Iranian prison. In a few minutes, we're going to hear from an American journalist who's written about all of this. But first, one of the Iranian climbers, Abbas Sibedian, an Iranian businessman, joins us on the phone. He's been visiting the U.S., planning the next joint climbing trip this summer here in the U.S. And Abbas, first of all, why do you climb these mountains? What's the attraction?
This is a question that so many people ask the climbers. I tell you, maybe a little bit funny, a friend of mine was climbing a mountain, and the villagers there asked him, "Why do you go there?" Said, "For climbing." And then he asked, "Are you paid for that?" I said, "No." And then, "Is there a treasure hidden on top of the mountain? You're going to find it?" I said, "No." The other funny questions may be that you're going to the top, then you have to come back. Why did you go there? You're already here. And many climbers just answer, because the summit is there, so we have to go there.
Because the summit is there.
Yes.
To get to the top. That's why you do it.
Yeah. For myself, I need to escape from the city sometimes. The pollution from all the stresses that are in big cities like Tehran, and you need to get rid of them, go to the mountains. And adventure is, you need some excitement and a little bit of adrenaline in your blood.
You sound just like climbers anywhere. They need to get out of the city. They need adrenaline in their blood, and it sounds just the same. And so here you have teamed up with Americans to have the climb in the past, another one you're planning. I'm reading a quote from an article that Gregory Crouch, who we're going to speak with, wrote in The Atlantic. He says another climber said to him, "Through the rope, our peoples become closer." What do you get out of the joint climbs with Americans?
Oh, very interesting and very nice. In general, I could say that I found the American people very kind, very, very kind and very friendly. Yes, that's right. What Greg says is quite right. When you are in the rope with someone, you get closer to him or her, because your life is in the other person's hand.
We should explain, when we say through the ropes, you guys are actually tied together. If one falls, the other can quickly jam something in the rock and hold everybody, or not. And, you know, that calls for a lot of trust.
Yes, there is always some risk when you're on a rope, but yes, you need to trust. And I trusted them, especially this trip. We had a wonderful ice climbing in New Hampshire. We went to Mount Washington.
Oh.
Did you know that? I didn't know that before, that Mount Washington has the worst weather conditions in the world.
We know that.
I myself didn't believe it. A mountain, 2,000 meters, how could it be, could it have the worst weather conditions? And when I was there, I realized that, I said, yes, that's correct.
Well, so you climbed Mount Washington here in the States, in New Hampshire. You climbed with American climbers here. You're planning another trip here. American climbers have climbed in Iran. As you're doing these things, are you ever thinking, what is all this talk, about the two countries? It sort of seems like it would be kind of weird, while you're climbing with Americans.
I'm not a politician, and we hear so many things on the TV, in the press, but what is important for me is nature, the mountains, and the people. And I think that these kind of exchanges, this kind of mutual relations could assist the people in the governments. I'm here to get to know the American culture, to get to know the people and the mountains and the nature. And, for example, I learned a lot about how American Alpine Club try to run the organization because we have the same problems, like financial problems, because we are an NGO, a non-profit, non-government organization. So we are always looking for the new sources of money.
And I understand, Abbas, that while you have a love of climbing, you also have a concern about the environment and preserving the environment, and that's a part of why you climb.
We have got the same problems in Iran. We have a big country, and there are so many national parks. We believe that some of them are not protected or not kept as it should be.
Yeah.
So any experience we could gain, we could obtain from these trips, meeting the people, or even while you are climbing up a mountain, when you are in the trail, even the signs on the trail could be educative. For me, it has been a lot of experience that I would like to share it with the other Iranian climbers, because we are very strong about the environmental situations and decisions.
Well, Abbas Abedian, again, a member of the Alpine Club of Iran, planning another joint climb with the American Alpine Club. He's done a couple already. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rabin.
Let's now turn to journalist, author, climber Gregory Crouch. He wrote about these joint climbing expeditions for the Atlantic. He joins us from KQED in San Francisco. Tell us a little bit more about climbing in Iran. We were not eager to talk to Abbas about some of these political things, but we understand that, for instance, the Iranian government was very suspicious about climbing at one point.
Well, as I understand it, leading up to the Islamic Revolution against the Shah, the climbing community in Iran was kind of a hotbed of anti-Shah dissent. So, yeah, it has a history of, you know, being connected to that larger urge for freedom. I think my observation would be that for the Iranian climbers, that distance between what they feel in their normal existence and the sense of freedom that they get in the hills, they're getting more out of it than most of the rest of us.
Okay, let's pick up with that. That's journalist and climber Gregory Crouch, who wrote about U.S.-Iranian mountaineering for the Atlantic. And Greg, we noticed that men and women climb together on this expedition, the women, of course, wearing the headscarves that are required in public. But you wrote that all of the climbers on the trip joked about hiking above the scarf line. What does that mean?
Well, the further away from the road you are, the further that is from sort of direct supervision, you know, and the women would feel less compelled to comply with the regulation than they otherwise would have been.
Well, and you're not a government organization. This is not, you know, State Department run or anything like that. This is, you know, completely a civilian organization. But we understand in Iran, you had to have a climber from the Ministry of Tourism on the trip. It was required. How did that go?
We were all pretty trepidatious about that to begin with. I mean, that is definitely not our experience in the climbing world. However, that fellow, Hossein, he was very reasonable, and he certainly did his best to accommodate us. I think we all made him crazy. Hossein was doing his best in a difficult situation. You know, herding climbers is like herding cats, His job was essentially to keep us on the program. I mean, he has to report back to his ministry every day that we were where we were and we're doing what we're supposed to. But climbers being climbers have a lot of individual initiative, and we would tend to see something that was off the program and become curious about it and start pestering him to let us see it, which meant that he had to call back to Tehran and get approval from his ministry people, which generally he was able to do. But if it was, say, at 5:01 and the ministry had gone off work, he wasn't able to make that happen until the next day. And of course, we were frustrated by that. And he was frustrated by us being unwilling to stick with the program.
You know, it's interesting. We were talking about, you know, why Iranians climb. And you went to West Point, you know, which is a place of regulations, and you say you discovered climbing at that time, you know, maybe to escape that kind of rigid life. And you saw that Iranians were maybe escaping another kind of rigid life. One said to you, up here, there are no men with long beards and mustaches.
Well, yes, certainly from my experience as a West Pointer, that is a rigid and regimented lifestyle, and climbing to me represented escape from that and, you know, pure freedom where I'm responsible for myself and the consequences of my own actions and there are no, you know, obligations. I do what seems important to me. And I think that that's very true. I think many of the Iranians that are climbers are responding to those same sort of pressures, that what you can and cannot do is pretty closely prescribed in the Islamic Republic. And when you are outside of the cities in the climbing world, you know, you are self-responsible out there. Right. You get to choose. And, you know, the consequences of mistakes in climbing are very severe. So, you know, you have your own responsibility in ways that you don't have when you're so closely supervised.
And as we mentioned, you are bound together, and so you're responsible to each other out there climbing. I mean, I'm seeing some of the things that some of the Iranian climbers said to you. At one point, you've befriended one of the climbers, and the Americans are begging him, please come climb in the U.S., and he says, guys, I've been to Afghanistan, I've been to Pakistan, and I look like Osama bin Laden. I am not getting a visa to the U.S. Now, that's a fun joke, but were there...
That was awesome.
but was there, you know, late at night around the campfire, talk of politics?
Yes, but more in the sense of sort of lusting for more expansive lives and a wider range of opportunities. I really enjoyed all the Iranian people, men and women that I was able to meet and climb with, and I really hope that their lives are able to blossom in that sort of direction. And by the way, in running these exchanges, it was the American government that was making the difficulties in lots of ways. You know, the people that we climbed with are all wonderful folks, and many of them were not able to get visas to come to the United States. And that was the primary organizational difficulty, was this direction, not that direction.
And by the way, we've been talking about, you know, oh, there's climbing in Iran with what we know is a very repressive government. You know, we're not, you know, that is true. But I am wondering, too, if the fact that Iranian climbers are coming to the U.S., you're seeing the U.S. with fresh eyes. Is there something about the U.S. that you are seeing through the eyes of an Iranian?
Yes, I think there were a lot of things that struck them as very odd about our culture, and the sort of lack of supervision is one that I think also impressed them. You know, when I was in Iran at the very end, I remember a fellow asking me, you know, well, what does your Ministry of Sport think about climbing? And I'm like, dude, there is no Ministry of Sport. Nobody's telling us what to do. And if they did, you know, we would not respond well to that. I think I had a much more colorful expression that is certainly not going to be FCC approved, but of what we would tell the Ministry of Sport to do to itself. And he looked at me with like total bafflement for about 10 seconds. And then this huge grin broke across his face and he just sort of sat there nodding for a few seconds in approval.
That's climber and journalist Gregory Crouch talking about joint climbing expeditions with Iranians. He's written about it for The Atlantic. We'll link you at hereandnow.org. And by the way, Gregory is also author of the recently released LA Times bestseller, China's Wings. Greg, we'll have to have you come back and talk about that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Robin.